You're listening to Off the Glass with Keith Glass.
All right, we're back. We are with Scott Brooks, the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What's happening?
Well, I got to be honest with you to start off. We appreciate you being on the show, obviously. We ran into each other on the way out of the arena in Vegas last week. Next time you'll take a different route in there. You know, this way you.
I try to avoid you, man. You stalked me.
Well, I had one of my sons go behind, and then we wedged in a little bit. Your quickness is gone, apparently. You know, you were much quicker before. You could have got away from me. But here's my bone to pick. I never had a bone to pick with you, and now I do.
Perfect.
Okay.
Give it to me.
I'm going to give you right now. I've got a text in front of me that says, "I'm running a little late. I'm with KD and Westbrook. I'll call when I can." Where are your priorities?
I know. You're right. I was thinking of that. You know what? Let me see. Talk to Keith or work out and continue to have a good relationship with KD and Russell.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I made the right choice on that.
I don't know. You know what? We'll talk about that later. All kidding aside, Scott Brooks is... as we said, the head coach of Oklahoma City. He was the coach of the year with Oklahoma City 2009-10. Graduate of UC Irvine through, am I right, San Joaquin Delta?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Junior college. I had no other options.
Yeah, I can't just gloss over that. All right. How in the world, okay, you went from San Joaquin Delta to being the coach of the year in the NBA. There's got to be some gray in there. How did that all start for you?
A lot of luck. I got lucky. I was at the right place at the right time, and things worked out. Keith, I'm in a great situation now. I know I've come a long ways from where I grew up and how I grew up, but It's been a treat, and I hope it continues.
Right. Well, you know, people may not even remember. I know this sounds crazy. You're a young guy. You played 10 seasons in the NBA. I did notice a lot of two-year stints in there. It reminds me a little bit of some of my marriages.
I can't even come back on that one. That's a good one.
Usually when you
see players that go from team to team,
right?
They've had some attitude problems,
right?
I kind of like that. I wish people would start looking at me that way. You know, this guy had a bad attitude. He got traded. He got cut.
Right.
But they never look at me that way. You know, it just so happened to be he just got traded again this year. But he's a great guy. I'll tell you what, when I was traded and cut and released and moved on to other teams, I looked at it as an opportunity to get to know other teams, the systems, their coaching staff, and it gave me, because I knew I wasn't going to play in the NBA a long, long time. I was fortunate to get, you know, a decade or so in, but I knew I wanted to coach.
Right.
So it gave me an opportunity to see all these great, be around all these great coaches and organizations.
I think you're being a little overly modest now, Coach, in that you scored over 3,000 points. He had over 1,600 assists, which is exactly 1,600 assists more than I had. You know what I mean? So, you know, you're downplaying your... Also, are you the only player, an NBA player, to come out of UC Irvine?
Actually, there's been a few. Not many, but there's a few. And I'm not downplaying. I stunk. I was a very average player. But the thing I tell, I was very average, but I was better than most that never made it.
Scott, so, you're as average in the NBA, okay? There's not a lot of players in the NBA. And I'll tell you what always ticked me off about you and guys like you was that I'm a Division II basketball player, okay? And you're a little taller than me, not much, but I always had that excuse. You know, I'm not big enough. You know, here you come, and you have 3,000 points. It's annoying. It really is. So for all the guys out here like me, you know, you kind of piss us off.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I hear that out of you.
Yeah.
The things I love about playing in the NBA and my career in the NBA is that there's not many players can look back and say, I was an NBA player.
Yeah.
I know I'm a coach now, but I still feel that, you know, it was such a privilege to be an NBA player. Anybody can be a coach. I mean, you can work your way up and be a coach, and to be a player, anybody can't be a player. You have to be skilled enough, good enough. You have to have the appropriate, you know, toughness to be an NBA player. And I was fortunate enough I was able to do that. I'm proud of my playing career. There's no question. I'm honest with it. You know, I was very average. But
yeah. Wow.
There's not a lot of players. And at that time, there was only 23 teams and only 275 players. Now there's, you know, 30 teams and 450 players.
Yeah, do the math. It's not so easy to do. Which is more fun, Scott? Be honest, coaching or playing?
Oh, not even question. I mean, come on, playing.
Yeah, I know. It's
playing.
I had to ask.
Coaching stinks. Are you kidding me? Every loss, you never end up in thinking about the next game. You're thinking about the last loss as a player. It's the coach's fault. Come on.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I missed the shots as a player, but it was the coach's fault. He threw up a bad play, gave me bad shot.
Right. Now, we mentioned Westbrook and Durant, kidding around at the beginning. I mean, are both of those top five talents in the league, top 10?
Easily. I mean, Kevin and Russell are the top talent in the league, but they're workers. They're great guys, et cetera. They're thrilled to coach. Right now, I'm on the campus of UCLA. Just finished up a 7:15 a.m. workout with both of them.
Wow.
They love the game. They have just incredible bond. They challenge each other. They push each other, but they have huge respect for one another.
Right.
It's been great to see, you know, as the head coach over the last 6 years, how they've progressed as people, as players. But it's awesome to see them work out in the morning. They love, you know, we have 11 o'clock practice all year long, and they're in the gym at 9:15 on the court.
Yeah, that's
getting
that's
their 20
fantastic.
And 30 minutes of shots before breakfast. It's
yeah.
just an amazing thing to watch. I'm proud of them.
Right. Now, so it must make you not cringe, but laugh a little bit when you read all the reports about they don't get along and they can't play together. You know, what is your, you know, you must cringe.
Yeah. You know, Keith, the craziest thing about the whole thing was during all the times, there's been many articles, not one person ever asked me about their relationship. And I used to always think either they don't want to know the truth or it's just lazy journalism.
Right.
But I'm the one that gets to see them every day. And are they competitive against each other? Or absolutely. Do they ever have any discussions and arguments? Absolutely. They're close-knit and they grew up together and like a family. But they get along. They have a bond. I mean, it was great to see them work out this morning. They were challenging each other. They were getting after each other. But that's what teammates do. That's what guys that are driven to be the best do every single day.
Right. And to think, you know, July 22nd, they're in the gym with you at 7.
Yeah, I love it. I love that stuff because I think I've always felt that as a player, you have to get in the gym early while everybody's resting and relaxing and you're in the gym working, and that's their mentality.
Let me ask you this one. We've got to deal with this because my whole gist here is I like to get after everybody. I mean, I just do. Kevin Durant has this image of being the greatest kid ever. We want some dirt. For example, any truth to the rumor that after the beautiful speech he made about his mom getting, when he got the MVP, they had a fist fight in the parking lot?
You know what? Let's start it. Because I'm tired of it. I mean, he's never done anything for me to even question. Okay, come on, Kevin.
Yeah.
Do something wrong.
So that didn't happen.
Do something wrong. No, that didn't happen. But maybe maybe Kevin and I got in a fight. So you haven't started that one.
You know, it's funny because everybody I speak to, all kidding aside, says the same thing about the kid. He's just a fantastic kid.
He's a guy that, you know, you respect because he puts so much into it. He respects the game. He respects the history of the game. He respects the new players coming into the game.
He That's
respects
great.
Coaching. And the only thing that he does wrong, he's sloppy.
What do you mean?
He is sloppy. He's just sloppy. And if you can get him to wash his face every now and then, it's great. I mean, the guy.
He sounds like two of my sons.
His locker room stall is like your kid's, you know, bedroom. It's like, come on, Kevin, put your clothes away.
It's unbelievable. Let me ask you one last thing.
Yeah.
Your opinion, again, I'm not trying to get nostalgic. The play, the level of play now versus when you played. Give me an idea of your thoughts.
Well, I think I was at the very end of the greatest basketball ever played in the 80s. I thought the 80s basketball was some of the best basketballs we'll ever see. You know, the Celtic teams, the Laker teams, you know, then Michael Jordan comes, his teams, even the Philadelphia teams. Those are just great basketball that was played. I'm sure people will say some of the 70 teams were well-played basketball. But I think that the players now, I mean, they're stronger, they're bigger, they're quicker. But they played in a way that it was more of a team,
right,
team atmosphere. You really wanted your teammate to really do well, and you always look for him and for the extra pass. Here, I think you have to instill them to take some time to build that culture. But I think then it happened immediately. That's how you were raised as a player. It's a little different now. It's a lot of one-on-one. It's a lot of, you know, AAU basketball. I'm not saying it's bad. It's a lot of great, talented players, but you have to really instill that culture, and it takes time to do that over, and sometimes it takes more time than you want it to
take. Coach, I'll tell you, everybody that comes on here with me has something negative on the AAU.
Yeah, Keith, the only thing I can say about the AAU, and this is my only negative complaint, is I personally don't like when teams get the best players and beat teams by 30.
Right, right. I agree with you 100%. Well, you're creating a problem for me because I don't root for anybody, but you're pretty engaging. I never thought this would happen, you know, where I'd actually like you. But seriously, Coach, I really appreciate you getting on here. I know you're busy, and, you know, next time, though, you know, it's Keith, KD, Westbrook, that order.
Okay, I'll do that next time.
Thanks, Coach.
What time tomorrow?
I'll talk to you later, Scott. Thanks, man.
All right, Keith.
All
right. Thanks, man.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
We'll be breaking it down with Tyler Glass after these messages from our sponsors.